is still rolling, is it not, Louise? Audio is still going, so the meeting will now resume. We'll note that the time is 2:15 as indicated, so we are back in action. You ready there, Heather? Okay, good, just checking. All right, so on the board, there's two things happening here simultaneously. On the board is the motion. So it says to receive the report and acknowledges the work of the Reconciliation Action Plan Working Group and that a new First Nations group be established. However, before that was moved, we now have a procedural motion from Councillor Archer. I'm obliged always to execute procedural motions first. So can I have so it's a motion to defer, typically with a motion to defer, let me just think this through, you do need a seconder to defer, seconded by Councillor Dawson. So let me just capture my notes. WA procedural to defer, seconded by Greg Dawson. No more debate will be entered into. You will be deferring that motion to a future meeting to be determined. And now we're going to vote. All those who accept the motion to defer, raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Barb, we have Councillor Mason, we have Councillor Ashley, we have Councillor Archer, we have Councillor Harris, we have Councillor Dawson against, we have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Lowe, and Councillor Orr. The motion is carried and it is substantive, so that item is now deferred to a future meeting. All right, that leads us then to section 9. Infrastructure and development, item 9.1, the Georgetown and Lowhead Urban Road Network Plan. Again, the recommendation is self-explanatory. It just gives some clarity around the future, where we are going and what is effectively required. The intent is to inform landowners, purchase of property and developers of what expected road layouts we will work on so they can budget and make fully informed investment choices. Justin Simons, our planner and the author of the report, has joined us and will address any questions. The recommendation is to adopt the Urban Road Network Plan for Georgetown and Lowhead. Can I call for a mover, please, and a seconder? The mover is Councillor Harris, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Mayor. No, this is just a tidy up which is required for benefits of our, what do they call it? Transparency.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Harris. Councillor Ashby.
I think this is well needed. And just to a bit of an urban upgrade, I think it'll be, and it's been well received by the community, so I think we should go ahead with it.
Thank you, and I'll note that no submissions were received during consultation on this piece of work. All right, with that, I'll open it to the floor. Any speakers for, against, or questions? Otherwise, we'll put it straight to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, we have Councillor Mason, we have Councillor Ashley, we have Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, you in support, yes, and Councillor Dawson, and against we have Councillor Barwick. Motion is carried by 8-1. That leads us on to the second one, which is the Lowhead Path Network Plan. Similarly, the plan guides council and developers as to where are the best locations for footpaths, shared paths, size, style, connectivity, how extending the footpath network to provide connectivity within the town and link to the town centre, community facilities, schools and sporting facilities. Again, I think we received, one submission to the plan, which I think is a positive indication. The recommendation is to adopt the path network plan for Georgetown and Lowhead. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Mover, thank you very much, Councillor Mason. Seconded by Councillor Harris. Councillor Mason.
This is the same considerations as the previous motion. As the Mayor introduced the motion, he covered all aspects required. And more than happy to move to adopt the pathway network plan.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Harris.
I'd like to back up all of the comments from our esteemed Councillor Mason.
Thank you, sir. Some accolades. All those, I'll open to the floor. Speakers for, against, any questions? Councillor Orr.
Thank you. So this is for the Georgetown and Lowhead Pathway Network. Some of the information in this document we could probably use in other parts of our municipality. There's a great section there on intersections between paths and roads on page 1365. We probably could use that when we did stuff at Weymouth last month. So
duly noted.
Support the motion.
Duly noted. Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Ashley.
I'm in support of this, as was stated by Mrs. Judd earlier. A lot of Lowhead people do a lot of walking out at Lowhead, and to have good pathways and footpaths is what we need.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? I'll return it to the mover, Councillor Mason, to close. Councillor Bark, have you got something you want to add?
To adopt this pathway network plan, as it says. There were a lot of issues that came to me about being a 14-day turnaround, that different people hadn't heard about it and it hadn't got out there. There was concerns about the 14-day turnaround and also acquisition of private land, which was what was being seen out there by the community. The one constant question that I would like an answer to, if I may, is the crossings of privately owned land is indicative, I'm quoting what it says here, extensive consultation and discussions with private landowners will be required if privately owned land is required in the future. And that is where the comments about the people's concerns about the acquisition of their land. Is there... Yeah. Thank you.
Do you have a question, though? I think I understand the nature of your question. Sorry, I do understand. So the question is... I think it pertains to the process by which council would potentially enter into a forced or involuntary acquisition for the purposes of a footpath, for example. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. Through the chair, you want to go to Justin? Through the chair to our planner, Justin Simons.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So while those powers potentially available to council, council would use similar decision-making processes that it normally does to determine whether those priorities are, whether those projects are priorities that they are going to commence tomorrow or next week or next year or 100 years down the track. And there's a broad range of things that council considers when it does that, which includes the demand for the community for these things, how much they cost, what processes are going to be required to acquire land, whether the land is available through some existing situation that may have occurred. And those things will all be investigated if and when council progresses these types of projects. I do note that it's important to remember that the plan that we're looking at the moment is the footpath network plan. It's not the open space network plan, which is the document that we have received a lot of submissions on. They are two separate documents. There's a little bit of crossover in them, but that crossover is largely related to the tiebacks in the existing structure plan, with respect to trail networks and things, this document doesn't necessarily add anything to that aspect. It largely deals with the footpath network as we would traditionally see it.
Thank you. Councillor Dawson.
Has anyone really spoken to the background of, and it's actually covered in the item as it's presented? It sort of says the purpose of the plan is to identify where footpaths ideally should be constructed or upgraded and identify the approximate order to which this should occur to maximise the benefit to the community. So that's really the background of why we've done this. If there's future developers come in, you can actually say we'd like to put a path in this area. So we've got a bit of a plan and something you can actually put in front of them and say, while you consider doing your upgrades or doing your subdivision, then this is what we envision of how we connect our communities. So, you know, you've got something to present them rather than working, you know, from behind the eight ball all the time. So I'm supportive of the motion.
Well said. All right, I think everyone's had a crack at that. I'll return it to Councillor Mason to close, and then we'll put it to the vote.
Thank you, Mayor. Some good discussion around that motion. Thank you.
We'll put that one to vote. Thank you, sir. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And we are unanimous. Thank you, Justin. All right, the drainage upgrade and Victoria Street easement budget transfer. So occasionally issues will emerge with our network which require rapid attention, which are not part of the budget cycle. In this case, the motion proposes taking savings or shortfalls where we did not expend the entire budget of other projects and transferring them to do an urgent piece of drainage work at 110 to 112 Victoria Street, which will relieve some of the stormwater pressure on other parts of the network. There is a table on page 136 which proposes transfer of money from the reseal program as well as savings from the stormwater pipe renewal program as well to a total of $130,962. The recommendation is to approve the transfer of that combined budget to fund this drainage upwork on the Victoria Street easement, 110 and 12 Victoria Street, and authorise the general manager to utilise the transfer budget to fund the proposed drainage upgrade works at 110 and 112 Victoria Street. Can I call for a mover, please? The mover is Councillor Lowe, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Dawson, and remiss of me not to welcome Director Andrew McCarthy to the front. Councillor Lowe, take it away.
Thank you. It's not fun moving motions sometimes because then you have to speak first. but with this one, it's been to workshop a number of times and there's a lot of community concerns around the winter and the weather and obviously the issues that that brings to some of the our streets in particular, Victoria Street. And like I said, we've workshopped this a number of times and this is part of a solution, a long-term solution. It's not just a Band-Aid. So whilst it's very technical in some regard, the money needs to be spent, the problem needs to be resolved. So I move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe. Councillor Dawson is seconder. Councillor Harris, if you just turn off your microphone, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Also support Councillor Lowe's comments. This is some work that's impacted on a number of businesses in that area that were previously not affected prior to some works being done up the road a little bit further. So our system has been inundated and upon inspection we've found that the original infrastructure that was put in is of varying sizes, so we just need to actually go in to this property, remove that that substandard infrastructure and put in infrastructure that will actually work for everybody. It comes at a cost and the greater cost is if we don't get it right So I'm supportive of this motion.
Thank you kindly, Councillor Dawson. With that, I'll open to the floor speakers for, against, or questions. Councillor Archer.
Question here on the pages that in the attachments, anyway, the map on the attachments, the it's got a design there of using, says 714 spray seal. I assume that's a two coat seal for the driveway entrance, actually into the property to repair damage. Is that appropriate for that sort of application? I mean, for an industrial yard?
Through the chair to the Director of Infrastructure and Development.
Thank you, Chair. I'd probably take that on notice, but noting that the project and the scope of the project and the works would have been discussed with the property owner, noting that there are a few different changes of treatment in that particular driveway, but that is something we can look at just to reaffirm that it is appropriate. But noting it is along the boundary line and it not necessarily might not be the particular area that the trafficable area as such.
Thank you.
Just to clarify that, it does appear on that map that it is the actual entry and exit drive for that property, for the property where the easement is.
Correct, yeah, it runs from south to north along the boundary line and joins up at Victoria Street, so yeah.
So maybe I could ask a slightly different question, which is, can you confirm what the entry ramp into 110 to 112 Victoria Street is today? Do you know if that's a spray seal or a hot roll?
Chairman, how about we seek some advice on it? So the motion today is to move some budget, but if officers commit to have a look at the crossover application itself, it might mean that it needs to be a hot mix application or a deep lift application or indeed a concrete application.
No, I think that's fair. No, good point. I think we are a little bit ahead of the program. So the two things are independent, but they will advise once it's determined.
I appreciate they're somewhat independent. However, from a budget point of view, there is a significant cost difference between a two-coat seal and a asphalt hot mix. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer.
Through the chair, and it's on exactly the same topic. Are we proposing to do like for like, or is it an upgrade as far
through
as
the chair,
surface
the
treatment,
of infrastructure, and development?
In relation to the treatment, I would have to go back and check, but noting that we do have a contingency there if we do need to make adjustments. It wouldn't be a large area of seal that's required given the works that are there, but that is something that we'll follow up.
That's good enough for me. Thank you. Councillor Ashley?
I think we need to start doing some work in South Street. Last year in the winter, we had a lot of flooding in South Street, flooding around the roundabouts, and a lot of people had flooding into their homes. So I think every little bit we do in South Street towards making it better, especially with drainage and with our stormwater, I think certainly needs to be addressed.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley. All right, anyone else? Otherwise, I will move. I'll put it to the mover. Councillor Lowe to close.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that we just realised that it was just transferring finances, because when Councillor Archer asked that question, I was like, oh no. So, yeah, I appreciate that, yeah, there are some technical things that I'm not aware of, or that's not part of my role. So I'm just, yeah, happy to support that we move the funding around to resolve the problem or start working on that solution, whatever that be.
Thank you, Councillor. And with that, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, I think we're unanimous. Yep, we're unanimous. Thank you. All right, corporate and community is section 10. 10.1 is the community assistance policy. Welcome our director of corporate and community, Cheryl Hyde, to the front to assist us with any questions. This is a policy that really is just due for review and updating. There are a few minor and insubstantial amendments. There was previously a concern raised as to whether there was a clause specific to youth and age that may have breached the Anti-Discrimination Act. We sought advice. The draft policy has been amended to expand on the rationale. The proposed addition is that council may provide financial assistance only to persons under 25 of age for the specific purpose of supporting sport, recreation, health and well-being for young people within the Georgetown municipality. Officer's recommendation is to adopt this amended GTC 11 community assistance policy. Can I call for a mover, please? Councillor Ashley is our mover. Seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Ashley.
I'd like to support this document and also say that I think that it was a very good pick up by Councillor Archer in regard to the age policy and putting age in the policy, but I think it's a good policy. It's worked for us and it will work for us in the future.
Thank you, Councillor Ashley. Councillor Mason.
I'll endorse the comments by Councillor Ashley. Thank you.
With that, I'll open it to speakers for, against, or any questions. Councillor Paul.
Thank you. So at the last meeting, also mentioned a number of track changes left in the document. Yep. We're adopting the amendment community assistance policy. It's full of track changes, full of red writing. I would rather see a document as completed a document for us to pass. And I did mention at the last meeting, and we're still having a month later, still hasn't happened. So it's not hard to make the document as a final document for us to approve.
In the attachments?
It does have track changes.
It does have track changes.
Through the chair, sometimes what we have done in the past, and I appreciate what you're saying, Councillor Orme, we could certainly do that moving forward, and maybe the motion needs to read that accepts it, accepts the policy with changes as shown. Limitations on our attachments this month have been a little bit more challenging than usual. In fact, in the last conversation, my iPad just crashed. So we had limitations, but normally what we have done in the past is do tracked and clean, so you can see it so the public can also see what the changes are as well.
Thank you. Yes, I understand with workshops having track changes, but that's okay. So we're going to change that slightly then?
I'm comfortable that you can endorse the motion as it is, and it will be uploaded clean, but if council's not, you could amend it to, as I said earlier, to...
It's a question of preference. I personally prefer the track page changes so the community can see what has evolved and changed. I think you're going to get different sides of the fence in that one, but I totally get your point of view.
Yeah, because I'd just rather approve the final document. So moving forward, we'd rather see the final document.
Well, how about we ask the team in the final document to publish both? Yeah. You happy with that?
Then next time, yes, thank you.
Okay, so we'll do that. Both will be published. Any other speakers? On the 1,500 page document, yes. All right, I don't think we need any more closing arguments. Councillor Ashley has spoken eloquently to it. Let's put that one straight to the vote. All those in favour accepting the amended community assistance policy, please raise your hand or say aye. And again, we are unanimous. Thank you, Cheryl. Okay, section 11 is organisational performance and strategy. 11.1 is fees and charges. These are environmental health charges that are put forward, and specifically in this case, dog registration and management. In short, they're in consultation with neighbouring communities and always making sure that the fees are relevant given our larger TAMA area. It's recommended that fees and charges are increased by 4%. This has been extensively workshopped. In fact, I think there were a few changes as well that came through this one. So the options are basically as presented in the table with the various different fee structures. Comparisons to West Tamworth Council and Launceston City Council are presented, and the recommendation is to adopt these environmental health fees and charges for 25-26 financial year and adopt the dog registration and management fees and charges as presented below. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? Our mover is Councillor Archer, is our mover, thank you. And seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Archer.
No, I think it's all pretty pretty modest and run-of-the-mill, thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Councillor Ashley.
I just think that they're a fair set of fees, and considering looking at it in comparison with other fees, I think we're being fair. I think with the way the economy is, we need to look at fairness towards our ratepayers and the people in our community and our municipality, and I think we're doing that. I think we're being fair and honest, and I'd like to see this go through.
Thank you very much. I'll open that to the floor. Any speakers for, against or questions? Councillor Dawson.
No, I disagree with the two previous speakers. I think anything we could do to reduce a burden, financial burden on our community, we should try to achieve. I understand that they're small increments, but they're increments that people have to absorb. But that's my point.
That point is well taken. Anyone else? Otherwise, I'll hand it back. Oh, yes, Councillor Orr.
Thank you. We did do some comparisons from other councils. Probably note that one of the local councils did increase their fees a lot more than we have done. And so it's really good that our councils have kept our increase to a minimum amount.
Well said. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. So just wondering, with all of the fees charged, do council hold 100% of those costs, or have any funds filtered on to any other bodies? Not obviously the dog related stuff, but any of the other kitchen licenses, food, any of the registrations. I was asked by a community member and I have no idea, and I thought, oh, this is a prime time to ask that question.
So the question is, are our funds exclusively expended by us, or do we sometimes use our funds and pass them on to other organisations in delivering these services? So through the chair to the director of organisational performance and strategy.
Typically they are for internal use, so not necessarily. We don't use an outsourcing service for our services. Is that the question you're asking?
No, sort of more along the lines of like when council charge for something, is there any fees to council for some of the services? Just trying to think of the best way to explain it or ask my question. Yeah, well, essentially, is there other governing bodies that would get a little bit of our money that we raise on some of these?
Okay.
No, typically no.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
So we don't pass a levy onto no. RSPCA or one of those other bodies, for example? No,
yeah.
We don't.
But in regards to any of them, like the food, there's no food licences or anything?
Certainly not that I'm aware of, Councillor. No.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Any further questions? Otherwise, we'll hand it back to our mover, Councillor Archer, to close.
Thank you, Mayor. I suppose in response to Councillor Dawson about the increase in the fees, I suppose the alternative is that, I mean, council could, you know, lower the fees or abolish them altogether and... No, it's debate.
It's
debate.
He's the member. He can speak to his motion.
And we could, abolish them altogether and borrow a heap of money or put it on the rate, but at some stage you might run out of other people's money. Anyway, I think it's pretty modest. There's no outrageous increases, and a lot of it's, majority of it's very compatible to other the neighbouring councils. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. With that, I'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Councillor Lowe, are you got a vote? You're not? Okay, we have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Barke, you supporting? Sorry, I missed you. Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson, and Councillor Keyser. No, not Councillor Dawson. And then against, we have Councillor Lowe and Councillor Dawson. Motion is carried 7-2. Thank you, Rick. So, motion carried 7-2. All right, section 12, Office of the Mayor. So this basically, we really should read Office of the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and Councillors. So we'd like to present to our council all of the formal engagements that any of the councillors have had over the month. The report shows myself, Councillor, the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Dawson, and this month we have Councillor Orson as well, who's been out there, out and about. Can I call for a mover, please, to accept the matters of involvement? Councillor Mason is our mover, and seconded by Councillor Dawson. Councillor Mason, take it away, and you may ask a question, or as you will.
I'd just like to receive the report and information as tabled.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Dawson, seconder.
Same thing, probably only one amendment. I forgot to report that I'd attended that Anzac Day's dawn and 11 a.m. service. I thought that probably included as an amendment if possible. Well, if Councillor Mason would be happy to have it added in.
I have captured that one over there, and myself and Louise all vote to include that. Thank you, sir. Any questions? Open that to the floor. Speakers for or against? Questions, anyone? Councillor Barwick.
I just wanted to ask for a copy of the minutes of the meeting of the DAC meeting. Council never seems to have them even come to the council table at a workshop.
How does that pertain to, I'm a little bit lost, how does that relate to the matters of involvement though?
Well, it's in here, the council all attended.
Ah, attended the DAP, there we go.
I know there was a lot of papers to read.
Okay, if you can provide minutes or notes or anything that was provided in that meeting, if there are.
So it's a catch-up of the local business and tourist businesses. Minutes aren't taken at the meeting. We have requested people to take minutes. No one actually takes minutes. I don't know what Councillor Barwick means by a heap of paperwork, because I do circulate an agenda out to people. So we get a report from tourist operators, maybe Bass Visitor Centre, maybe the Visitor Centre. You get a report from Visit Northern Tasmania, Maine, they'll do a report. Yeah, so I'm happy. I don't know, sorry, minutes aren't taken, so, and I don't know about the paperwork you're talking about, so it wasn't a lot of paperwork sent out.
If I may, I've got a sneaking feeling you're talking about the development assessment panels, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You're not. You are talking about the destination action plan?
Yeah, because the destination action plan has been always classed as being part of council, and that's why we've got Councillor Orr was elected from this chamber to be the chairman.
No.
Right?
No.
And excuse me, he was elected. Yeah, and you, Mr. Chairman, you elected him.
Through the chair, it's similar to other groups that aren't necessarily operated by council there. There's a number of representative bodies, and this is just one example of a council sitting on one, but it's not a committee or a group of council.
But we nominated him to sit on there.
Yep.
That's right. And I'm asking for
correct.
A report back whether, if they don't do minutes, I want to report back so I know what's going on and everyone knows what's happening with it. I mean, we may pay...
Can I suggest through the chair, we're going to have a visit from Visit Northern Tasmania very soon with their CEO and their chairperson, and maybe you could raise the DAP with them, the governance and the functions and the administration of such, because it's actually something that falls underneath ultimately the region and the state government.
I mean, I know it was always a destination action plan. Now I'm hearing that it's a tourism group meeting. So this is why I'm saying, if all this is changing and things are happening, we around this table need to know, as council laws, not just kept to one or two people. I know there's staff members attend that, I think. I'm told staff attend it, and it's a cost. So
I should get a report. I found the email I actually did send out to participants. It wasn't a minute. So I'll tell what we spoke about. So we spoke about the off-season 2025 campaign and the opportunities of 2026. So end of last year, there's opportunities for operators to attend online sessions to how you can grow your business by being part of the off-season campaign. We spoke about the TICT top tourism town for 2025, maybe 26. A couple of years ago, the locals did put an submission in for Lowhead, so maybe looking at doing the future, doing one for our region. Spoke about the ATTW. I can go on for a lot about ATTW if you want me to, but if you want more questions about ATTW, I'm happy to talk about it. So any businesses in the municipality should be in ATTW, including cafes, hotels, if you're running an event. There's also a group page, Facebook group page, we spoke about that. We spoke about the Georgetown Region Tourism Strategy. We spoke about maps, about the local map for Launceston map, which I've got here, people want to see it, how we can engage in that. We spoke about Solstice in the Square, great event coming up, so I encourage anyone to go to that event. With VNT, we actually attended the NEB Hub Georgetown Futures Expo. So we're there, aspect of talking to the students and anyone looking for a career pathway, how you can be in the visitors' economy. So thanks for the NEB Hub putting that on. It's a great event. We spoke about what's on Lawson and Northern Tasmania, which is a decal given out to tourist operators, so if you want to know what's going on in our region, you can go onto that website. And we discussed other things like the open space plan, pathways, and anything to do with visitors coming in the area. So, so that's like I put my what I do every month in this for that reason, so people know what I'm up to. Other councillors do things and go out on other committees, and that's not listed. So, same when we go to maybe. Tamar NRM might have the AGM. We'll go to that meeting, councillors would do. I might go to an event maybe tomorrow morning. So if people want a report, I'm happy to put those reports through, but that's why I list them in here. Does that answer your question, Councillor Barwick?
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, you're shaking your head, so does that answer you or not?
I only asked for one thing, not about any other
groups. I did, I reported everything from the DAP. Yep, and I answered the DAP, but also explained why I listed there, so I'm transparent and out there to what I'm up to.
All right, let's come to order, everybody, and let's move ourselves forward. Are there any other questions on the matters of involvement? There are none. Okay, with that, I'll return it to Councillor Mason to close.
I close, thank you.
Thank you. We'll put that to a vote to accept the report. All those in favour, please raise your hand.